This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Buenaderas, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization with which we have been, are, or will be affiliated.
This is episode 43, Snakes on a Game, and was recorded on Friday, the 3rd of May, 2013. Hello, this is Michael Martin coming to you live from Budapest, Hungary, and I'm very, very, very excited to be back in the saddle again here for another edition of GamesAtWork.biz with my good friend and co-host, Phaedra Buenaderas. Hello, Phaedra.
Hello, Michael. So happy to be here on the show with you today.
Yes, so we're missing Michael Rowe today, unfortunately. It seems like there's always one of us who's gone missing, but we are at least two-thirds strength, and we'll take that, won't we?
We will.
So you've had some exciting times here recently at a conference that you were a pretty significant part of, as I saw on the interwebs.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I got to fly out to one of my most favorite cities in the world, San Francisco, and I spent a couple days there with some fantastic people at the Gamification Summit. I learned a lot. Will Wright and Nolan Bushnell keynoted. For those of you who don't know, Will Wright is one of the most fantastic game designers on the planet. And of course, Nolan Bushnell is the father of consoles, having been the founder for Atari. Some things that struck me about the conference was a certain level of schizophrenia about just the name Gamification. Just so you know, so they had these fantastic keynotes from the gaming industry, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Real heavy hitters in Will Wright and Nolan Bushnell. And then they had other speakers, for example, the CEO of Bunchball, Rajat, who gets up and he says, you know, really, there isn't much game in gamification. Really, what this is about motivational behavioral psychology. And it's about loyalty 3.0. Yeah. And he says, really, there isn't anything regarding games in this at all. It's just smarter design. And so, like I said, there was a rift because I think there's some groups within the gamification community that are really trying to incorporate serious games underneath that umbrella. Like they want the single word gamification to encompass anything using games that isn't strictly entertainment.
Interesting. I mean, there's always been a group of people who like don't like that word and some that are ambivalent towards it. But I think the idea of recasting gamification as design and loyalty, certainly there are aspects of great design that fit right in with good games and good interface and good consumability overall. So that makes a lot of sense for me. But I could see where the rift could be generated, especially at a conference like that, where people come in with preconceived notions. And did he represent it as a loyalty to a product or a service or to a game itself? Or how did loyalty 3.0 kind of work?
Loyalty 3.0 is more like a loyalty to product, services, and organizations, which I thought was interesting, you know, to missions. Mm-hmm. So a great example of a gamification platform that I saw was from the company Synergy that did a really cool customer care gamified app on the mobile device for Verizon salespeople, you know, out on the floor in those Verizon stores where you pick up a cell phone and you get some customer care.
Yes.
This was really interesting. I really like this. They, in essence, had a mobile app where, based on your salesperson's profile, right, as a customer care professional, there were like, you know, 20 different profiles. It gave you certain goals, and as you were there out on the floor during the day, it would stream in real-time feedback in terms of how you were doing at that moment in time, and then push messages towards you. So there were leaderboards and things like that. But, you know, watching this, I was envisioning, you know, you could really level this up by watching the movement of RFID. You know what I mean? Like, if I noticed via my app that more of a certain kind of phone was selling or more of a certain kind of product. What are the messages I'd want to push to my sales team to optimize that in some way?
We were just saying about collaboration and games not having as much of that in as part of their engagement model. Is that right?
Yeah, I've noticed that. And I think there's a really big opportunity to do some very cool things with collaboration. So, for example, with a customer care example, you know, if you noticed that one particular salesperson, when they were on the floor, kept selling one of, you know, of their favorite kind of mobile devices, what could you do if there was more collaboration in terms of getting someone else to go and help that person push another product? Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, what could you do in that way?
Or you could make it more of a collaborative win scenario where when both players or multiple players are behaving in the way that the system is trying to get them to behave in, it could be right. you have stockouts in another location where you have you do have stock in your location, you might be incented to share that with the other location that's selling out, and collectively
I like
you win.
That. That's really, really nice. I like that a lot.
Well, so I've been playing with Michael Rowe. I continue to play with him on the Simpsons game. And one of the things that's in the Simpsons game right now is a collaborative aspect on, they call it Snake Whacking Day. So there are these snakes that overrun your virtual Springfield, and you walk around with a stick and you hit the snakes. And sometimes you get a snake, which goes into your quantified group of snakes. And sometimes you get a snake egg. And a snake egg is useless to you as a player, but you can go to a friend and you can give your friend a snake egg. And that snake egg can hatch there, and that can give them a snake to go add to their collection of snakes.
Interesting.
And you collect snakes in order to win rewards. So when you get 100 snakes, you get something, and 1,000 snakes, you get something, and so on and so forth. So as a collaborative game, I like this very much, because you wind up getting digital items, these snake eggs, that are of absolutely zero value to you, but they are valuable to others. So you need to go out to others and give them away with the idea that reciprocity would work in your favor, so that you get snake eggs back in your virtual Springfield that you can have hatch for you, and that you get more snakes that you can add to your snake total.
Interesting.
So if you think about it that way, applying that concept to collaborative gaming, this is where that virtual stockout, you know, kind of notion came, right? I've got something that's maybe of little value to me. I know that because the business analytics tell me that. I know that it's of high value to someone else that I collaborate with. If I get it over to them, we both win. And I like the quantified self aspects that you were describing, too. There's so much of that coming on the market right now. I think you know that I'm wearing a Jawbone Up, and you know other people like the Fitbit or the Nike Fuel Bands and stuff like that. And there's gaming aspects to those, too. Competitive, just being able to watch what other people do. Depends on what sort of data you feel comfortable in sharing, of course. And whether you post those things to social networks on LinkedIn or Twitter or what have you. Did that come up also in the conference too, about wearable computing and quantified self related aspects?
It did. And of course, privacy. And, mm-hmm. you know, what happens when, you know, who do you share this with? And, you know, are we going towards the vision of Gattaca? Remember that movie?
You leave your
eyelash behind, and so there's, you know, some level of concern about the sharing of that kind of information. But I don't know. We'll see. It's definitely a space to watch. And speaking of that, mm-hmm. I was at another conference yesterday called ModSim, which is out in Virginia. So big defense-focused summit, but really there were some folks from education there and from healthcare as well. So I'm at this conference in Virginia, and one of the questions that I received was about ethics, and indeed, specifically, the kinds of games where, unbeknownst to the player, you're helping to solve problems. And we had a talk about how Google utilized the game ESP, and apps like ReCAPTCHA being used to digitize works within the Library of Congress. I mean, there's so many great examples of games of this nature and more coming out. Mm-hmm. So I was actually, I got an email about a new game that Google has released called A Google A Day. Have you heard of this?
I have, because you sent me the link and I've played it. So
aha,
I like it.
Yeah, so in essence, what they say on Wikipedia about this game is that it is made, in essence, to help people learn how to better Google questions. But it got me thinking, could this also potentially be a game that could be crowdsourcing data points in order to solve something complex?
Yes, like prediction markets, right?
Yeah, or potentially, I don't know, behavior, searching behavior. Like, you know, maybe it's by region, maybe it's by age, or I don't know. What kind of information could they be crowdsourcing from a game where, in essence, what it does is it asks you a hard question. Like, I'm looking at one. And it's asking me for the name of a passenger train that derailed in New Jersey in 1951. And in essence, you're supposed to Google, you know, something that is really succinct, come up with the answer, and then submit it. And then you get points based on your submission.
Right.
And it just got me thinking, like, as we come across little games of this nature, as we come across apps, and it might be more and more difficult to really determine what's actually solving a problem, and will we even know what the problem is that is being solved?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, when I first played the game, I played it and it was asking some really obscure sports question. I'm like, you know, I like trivia. I like trivia questions. Yeah, I like going to pub nights and trivia nights. This is freaking hard. And it didn't really dawn on me until after I played it a while that what it was trying to do. And then I got, you know, a little smarter. I had another window open and I did some Google searching to answer the Google a day question. And, you know, I guess it's really attempting to make me, like you said, a smarter Googler, as opposed to helping Google be smarter itself. But maybe here's the flip side. When you get the points, you get points on your G+ and Google environment when you sign in, right? So maybe it's helping Google be smarter, because when it poses you a question like, what was the name of the train that derailed in New Jersey in 1951, it knows that you are the person who are searching Google. You are playing the game, so it knows that as well. And it sees how you're attempting to search for it, and it can refine the search algorithms to be even better, so that when people who haven't played the game are trying, they will get better results. Maybe that's the real angle to it. You know, kind of like in the days of yore, where you would go and speak certain words and phrases to your voice dictation system so it would recognize your own voice and would be trained and tuned to you. That we're kind of playing the game and doing the searches on another browser where we're also logged into Google. It's helpful that way. It wouldn't be as helpful if you tried to search on Bing, for example.
Yeah, I concur. I concur that and these are questions, like I said, as we come across these apps, you know, now it's in the back of my mind. Well, this was another very exciting episode of GamesAtWork.biz.
Yes, and Phaedra, and we are just delighted to have had you dialed our way. You can find us on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, and more. Please comment, friend, tweet, and favorite us with topics you'd like to hear more about. Well, you can't favorite a topic, but you know what I mean.
Next week, we'll have more exciting news bits and tidbits for you from the world of games and serious games and gamification for you, and how you might be able to utilize it in your workplace.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.